All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6, working our way through our sovereign king. We're still in the character and conduct of a Christian. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, we come to a section here I'm going to title Judge Not. And it goes along with a lot of things you said in Sunday school today, Brother Glenn. You know, let's read our text. You can stay seated. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and what measure you meet, you shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite. Now these two words I'm going to mention here in verse 5 are crucial, telling us that we are to judge certain things. Notice what it says. First cast out that the beam out of thine own eye. What? And then thou shalt clearly seek to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And then verse 6 is an unusual verse. I believe it goes with verses 1 through 5. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Father, I pray today as we come to this text dealing with judging, Lord, help us to decipher and to interpret correctly through the illuminating power of your Holy Spirit what you're saying here, and that we are to be people who are discerning. We are to be people who make judgments, but not in the critical way that Jesus is talking about here in our text. So teach us today. Help us to be more discerning. Help us to be more speaking out more and correcting error and correcting wrong behavior, and not just be silent, but Lord, help us to be the church on the offensive as well. And so we asked all these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Judge not that you may not be judged. That's a response, isn't it, we get from unbelievers? You're trying to witness to them. Who are you to say that Jesus is the only way to heaven? What makes you right? What do you feel like makes you right? Well, why aren't we right? Or what gives you the right and the privilege to say to me and even talk to me about that? And especially Christians who are living sin use this same thing. Remember what the Bible says? Judge not, lest ye be judged, right? They'll come back with you that every time. And I say to them, Brother Glenn, I say, listen, I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what the Word of God has already made a judgment on this statement, and I'm just telling you what the Word of God is saying. Amen. About this. Amen. Now, so, people don't, I mean, we got to be honest. I didn't like it. Nobody likes to be confronted with their sin, right? We don't. But if we want to be biblical, we're going to receive that rebuke in the right way it's intended, hopefully. And it's going to be a correcting power used in our life and a behavior, a wrong behavior, a wrong belief. Now, what is this text really teaching about judging? What does judge mean? Well, let's look at the context again, remind ourselves about the context of the Sermon on the Mount. In chapters 5 through 7, Jesus contrasts the true inner righteousness of his kingdom citizens with that of the outward false righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And then beginning in chapter 7, he begins to deal with the believer's walk as Christians in relation to other people. And then particularly in verses 1 through 5, he condemns unjust criticism. He's talking about mote hunters. I like to call them mote hunters. You ever had those in your church? They run around looking at everybody else's mote in their own eye, and they got a beam sticking out their own eye. They're just looking like the sin police, I call them. Now, when we have issues here, y'all know this at Trinity, we're not going to run from them. If there's flaring, everybody knows about it, it's hurting the witness of that person, the church, and Christ, we can't ignore it. We got to take care of it. But we are not mote hunters running around looking for this one or that one, you know. I look back on some of the old minutes of the church. I forgot where they're at. I don't know. Do you have those, Michelle? Yes. Before they were there, and other churches always like to look back at the minutes, and they were casting people out of the church left and right, you know, smoking, going to the bar, going to the dance. They were casting them out left and right. We probably wouldn't have nobody left here if we started doing it like that, right? And so we need to take church discipline seriously. Now, He's talking about moat hunters who look for flaws and use despiteful criticism. I often heard people that come to me and say, yeah, and I'm thinking, you worse off than they are, you know, yeah, when they're telling me that. I'm going to write a book sometime before I retire from the pastorate. It's going to be a tell-all book. Everybody's writing tell-all books. I'm going to write one. And I'm going to subtitle it, Things I Wish I Could Have Said, you know. And, boy, I get Brother Glenn going on that one, won't I?
Yeah, just don't release it until after you read.
Okay, all right. I won't have a church with it. Again, it's the Word of God that judges. Now, the way I'm going to look at this text is the way I do sometimes. I like to do it this way. I'm going to talk about what the passage is not teaching, and then I'm going to talk about what the passage is teaching. I don't do anything on Facebook except our church Facebook page. I don't try not to look at anything else. I don't have friends. I mean, all that's, you know, they say that you can go through life and have two or three friends. I didn't know you could have thousands on Facebook, you know. And I don't get into all that, you know, but I saw something popped up when my name was mentioned, and it was by somebody that knew me, and someone had asked them a question about a scripture. John 6:44, like no man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him, something like that, and said, see, Brother Ken Burgess, he's good at that kind of stuff, you know, but I was not about to engage anything outside of our church Facebook page. I don't do that. It's a losing proposition, and I don't hash out. I learned years ago you can't hash out theology in the newspaper in the editorial page. They lambasted me. I can't tell you how many times I quit my subscription to the paper. But anyway, I don't do that. So it would have been interesting to engage them, but the text is so simple. And how about just saying, what does the Bible say? It means what it says and says what it means.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
Don't try to read anything more into the text than what it says. And it was a very simple text, John 6:44. What does it say? In fact, I had a blog years ago, I quit doing it, was Let the Scripture Speak, you know, instead of trying to speak for it. And so I like to engage people sometimes, and they say, well, I don't think that's what it means. I say, well, what does it mean? Because if it doesn't mean what it says, then what does it mean?
Right.
Right? And it's usually something off the wall, they would come back. Let's look, first of all, at what this passage is not teaching in verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, you shall be judged. And what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now, I want to share with you about 6 or 7 things that this passage is not teaching, that many people think it is. Well, he's not saying we can't judge. Judge not. If you want to get my gander up, just respond to me like that. Well, you know what the Bible says, you know. What does it say? I forgot. Judge not, lest ye be judged, right? And it may be a Christian living in sin, maybe an unbeliever, what? And they come back with that statement. Judge not. That's not what the Bible says. The word judge in verse 1 in the Greek means to determine, to distinguish, to evaluate, and make a decision. We are to be doing that all the time in our Christian life. Now, the word judgment in verse 2 is a different Greek word. It means to condemn, be critical, and judge people by your own standards. That's the kind of judgment that Jesus is talking about. Number 2, he's not saying that the church can't settle disputes among believers. In 1 Corinthians 6, you remember? If you have dispute with one another, we need to bring it to the elders of the church.
Right.
And let them determine that, right?
Right.
And so it's not saying that the church can't settle disputes among believers. Because in that passage there, the Lord lets us know it's better off to let the church decide who's right and wrong than an unbelieving judge out there, right? Who's taking bribes all the time, right?
Right.
I've never seen a time in America when judges can be bought and politicians are being bought as we speak today, right? And this is why a lot of what the Supreme Court justice, they ruled the way they ruled because they're being bought. Politicians are being bought for their vote, right? And they're not going to, it's a very corrupt, I hate them, in ways America is the best nation in the world, but I'm telling you, we live in a very, very corrupt political system, right? And number three, he's not saying the church can't exercise church discipline. Boy, howdy. That's one you get all the time. Well, Matthew 18, 15 through 18 says there's four steps, right? We've been through those. Romans 16, 17 and 18, 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 13, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 14. The church has all the right responsibility from God because he said, if you won't take care of it, I'm going to take care of you, right? God will judge a church who allows flagrant sin to go on. And we there's four steps in Matthew, right? Go to them one-on-one, take two or three spiritual with you, tell it to the church, and if they don't listen, then cast them out of the church. It's very plain, right? Why? Not because you hate them, because you want to restore them, because you want the purity of the church and the purity of Christ upheld, right? How many times have I and you been out there amongst the people and they say, does so-and-so go to your church? And you say, yes. And, well, I'm not going to go down there. Hey, you people let them get by with this and this and that and the other, right? So it's very, very popular that people don't understand that. And then number four, he's not saying the church can't judge doctrine and lives of teachers and preachers. And we're going to get into that in Matthew 7, 15 through 20. Two very contrasting ways in a few weeks. And we are discerning doctrine and false teachers and true teachers and their lives as well. And it's happened to me, Brother Glenn, over the years that when I went in certain churches, when I go after the false doctrine and lies of the prosperity gospel, someone who believes wrongly than what I believe, they believe that I am blaspheming the Holy Spirit by attacking them. You know, you ever heard that? And that's not true. I'm trying to straighten out what the Holy Spirit intends, right, in those passages. So he's not saying the church can't judge the doctrine and lives of teachers and preachers. We better do that when we call them, right? By the way, we test things by objective truth, not by subjective feelings. Subjective is what you feel. Objective truth is the Word of God rightly interpreted. So I know what the Bible says, Brother Ken, but I just don't feel, right? Well, we don't live our lives by your feelings. We live our lives by objective truth. What does the Word of God say? Are y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We go by what does the Bible say? That's objective truth. Well, I just don't feel like God's going to send anybody to hell. I'm sorry, if they don't believe objective truth of the gospel, they're going to hell, right?
That's
right. So that's another thing we often hear. Number five, he's not saying we can't judge men for qualifications for the office of pastor, deacon, or any other position in the church. I've known before when churches get ready to ordain more deacons, and I strongly disagree with the way they do this, some of them. They just put out a sheet, give us a nomination. The person can be one of the most carnal people in the church, and somebody puts their name down on that sheet. Are you with me? And then the onus falls on the leadership to discriminate and to take care of it. And then you end up splitting the church because these people were never qualified to be a deacon.
Right.
That's not the way you do it. The way you do it is spiritual leaders recommend to the people, certain people, they examine their lives. Are they faithful? Do they come to church? Do they tithe? Do they live the example of a Christian life?
Amen.
And then they can be a deacon, right? But when you make discriminating judgment about that, who are you to say that I'm not as good as Joe Blow over there, right?
Yeah.
And we've seen that. We've done that. In fact, when I was pastoring Westside Baptist in Adel, right there on the interstate, I had all but one. The rest of them were very carnal deacons. You know? They didn't have to come to church. So-and-so would be a deacon because it was his brother, you know. And then they would they tell me, one of them told me one day right out, he says, "Well, I can't talk to you without you bringing the Bible into it." I worry about that man's salvation, don't you? There is no biblical discernment in many of your churches today. People don't know what's up, what's down, what's right, and what's wrong. There's no discerning spirit. So what is the Bible, this passage, not teaching? Well, secondly, what is the passage teaching? If you'll notice verses 2 through 5, and we've read it, and I'm just going to begin there. Number one, we should not use harsh judgment and criticism over others' believers' beliefs. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 5. I can't judge anybody's motives. I don't know what their motives are, but we have people who are moat hunters who say, "Well, I know why they don't do this or do that." Or, I know. No, you don't know nothing, right? You don't judge the motives, you judge the fruit, right? We have the right to test fruits, but not their motives. "Well, I know why they didn't. They didn't come to my party because of so-and-so. I know they didn't come because they wanted hamburgers and not hot dogs." You know? No, they might have had an upset stomach, right? By the way, I don't want you to call me every time you got an upset stomach, but if you're sick, I want you to call me, okay? We're not to practice pharisaical judging, hypocritical, self-righteous, unfair judgment based on your own standards. Remember the context? That's what Jesus is contrasting, kingdom citizens with that of the pharisaical scribes and Pharisees, right? And a lot of times we try to make judgments and we don't have all the information. When you give me a name to put on the prayer list, make sure you got your facts together, right? And many times I just have to, it's better to go right to the horse's mouth to find out, right? We'll call everybody, when somebody's sick, we'll call everybody else except the one who's sick. Am I not right? We'll do that. Why are we not to use this criticism, this pharisaical attitude? Because he says in verse 2, condemning critical judgment will come back on you. And then number 3, we should not judge by appearance. That's a big one, right? In James chapter, in fact, it says that plainly in John 7, 24. But in James 2, 1 through 4, it talks about they were judging by appearance. You know, they were respecter of persons, right? And I can always say this, and I can say this with a truthful heart. If somebody comes in here that don't quite dress like we do, and we don't lambast them. We make them feel welcome, right?
Right.
And I've even had you'd go out and buy clothes for them. Right? And we don't judge by appearance. They judge by appearance. David would never have been king of Israel, right?
Yes.
Number 4, we should not judge in matters of conscience and questionable things. In Romans chapter 14, 1 through 5, I call them the gray areas. Should we eat meat offered to idols? And the church had a big problem with that. They felt like if the meat was offered to idols, you shouldn't go back and get it and eat it because it was contaminated. Now, Paul said this. He said, there's nothing wrong with the meat. The meat is all moral, you know. And so questionable things. Should I go here? Should I go there? Should I go visit this place? Should I be seen here or that? And there are many people who are weak in the faith who may not feel... I got relatives who are still in the what's the name of the church that don't eat meat? Seventh-day Adventists. They don't eat pork. And I told you about it. We took Faye's brother and wife out to eat at Longhorn one night, and I said. And I forgot they were in, she's in the Latter-day, what did I say a while ago?
Seventh-day
Adventists, okay. And I forgot that, and I said, you ought to try the pork chops. They're real good, you know. And she, I'm Seventh-day Adventist. I can't eat pork because they believe that you're not only saved by faith in Christ, but also keeping the Old Testament law, right? And so that was wrong of me, but I forgot that she wasn't a pork eater. Now, if I remembered she wasn't a pork eater and I tried to embarrass her, that'd be different, right? But you're not, if they think it's sin, you're not to embarrass them and you're not to intrude on them, right? There are people that don't go to movie theaters when they were open. Motion pictures, they call them, movie theaters. They thought it was a sin, even if you were watching something really clean. But it would violate their conscience, see? And so don't cause them to sin. And that's what he's saying here. We don't pass our own judgments of what we would do or where we would go onto other people unless clearly spelled out in Scripture as being sin. Number five, we should not judge by speaking evil of other believers in James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. We've got to be able to separate the sin from the sinner. And then number six, you will become blind in your own condition and need help yourself in verses 3 through 5. I want you to notice verses 3 through 5 quickly. I want you to look for three words for look. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider, if not, the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? You see, three different Greek words here. The word beholdest means look at a glance. The word consider means to fasten your mind on it. And the word behold means to look, to perceive. Three different Greek words there. And the danger of this is that you yourself might need help, right? You know, if we were to send a group of good godly men to somebody in our church we found out, say, was living with a woman, and we sent two or three men to their house to talk to them, and we wouldn't send two or three other people just like them, would we? Y'all follow me? We wouldn't send two or three men that came to church once a month, right? We would send the spiritual man, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And that's the way it's done. We don't judge by appearance. We don't judge in matters of conscience, questionable areas. We don't judge by speaking evil of other believers. And then number 7, look in verse 6. Do not share holy things with the wicked. We have no obligation to share the gospel with those who hold holy things in contempt, in abuse, or in violence. Now, it took me about 27 years of my ministry to get this verse right. What is he saying in verse 6? Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Well, it goes with verses 1 through 5, and he's talking about unjust judgment. But there are some matters that we are to judge on. He said, don't cast your pearls before swine and before dogs. Now, I want to shock your world right here in just a moment. There were times when Jesus withheld truth from the Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. And also in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11 through 13, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou to them in parables, them being the scribes and Pharisees? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. By the way, that goes along with what Brother Glenn said in Sunday school this morning. Truth is revealed by the Spirit of God. It has been given to them. But to them it is not given. Now what do we do with that? Well, it's not a hard thing. Just interpret it the way it's written, what it says. It hasn't been given to them, but it's been given to you, right? Now notice what he says in verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him it shall be given, and it shall be more in abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore, speaking then in parables, because they seeing they seeing, see not, and hearing, hear not, neither do they understand. So Jesus even withheld truth from certain people. So what is this, dogs, pearls, and swine in verse 6? Well, again, verses 1 through 5 speaks of wrong kind of judgment, but in 6 he tells us a group of people that we are to withhold truth from. We make a judgment. We make a discerning call that they are a dog or they are a swine, and we don't give them the pearl. I believe the pearl is the gospel. I believe the pearl is the jewels of our faith, right?
Right.
Now, to determine who are the dogs and the swine, we must make a judgment, right? So who are the dogs and the swine? Well, we look in the Jewish culture. Dogs in Jesus' days were treated as pets, not treated as pets like they are today. Dogs and cats run the house, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't in the Jewish culture. They were largely half-wild mongrels that acted like scavengers. They were dangerous and despised. It would have been unthinkable to give a dog a piece of meat that had been consecrated as a sacrifice in the temple. That was unthinkable. Why? What would happen to the meat that went to the sacrifice? Well, a part of it was given to the priest, a part was burned up in the sacrifice, and a part was given to the family that brought the sacrifice. Now, who are the swine? They were considered by Jews the height of uncleanness. Jews never raised swine or tried to domesticate them. They were animals that foraged in garbage dumps outside the city town. They were greedy, vicious when it came to their food. If one stood in the way of their food, they would rend or tear them to pieces. That's what he says in verse 6. So the point is, Jesus is teaching that certain truths and blessings of our faith are not to be shared with people who are totally hostile, vicious, antagonistic to the things of God. That's what he's saying. As long as a person is open to the gospel and treat you fairly, keep sharing the gospel with them. But the moment they come very hostile, like Antifa,
right.
Antifa, you would be casting the pearls before swine if you went to Portland and tried to do that.
Yeah.
By the way, the federal troops, although they're still important, not doing as much as they were, it didn't calm everything. Now they're burning Bibles. Now that proves that it's not all about George Floyd, right? It's about the destruction of America.
That's right.
And all that we hold dear. I said I wasn't going to get off on that, but I had an excellent opportunity there. So we are not to judge wrongly, but we are to judge and especially be careful with the dogs and the swine, because they'll rend you apart, right? Father, this morning we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that we have, through your word and enlightenment of the Holy Spirit and revelation, illumination, we have rightly deciphered what it means to judge. And so, Father, help us to be a judging people. And when someone tells us, don't judge, lest you be judged, say, well, I'm not judging you. The word of God has already judged you. I'm just telling you what the word of God said. Help us, Father, to get out of our box and speak truth to a lost and dying world. Father, there may be one here today that been following Christ from afar. They go by Christianity by name, maybe by attendance, maybe by baptism, maybe by membership, but there's been no difference in their lives. Lord, we pray for them to come this morning and say, I want to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to follow him. I want to deny self. I want to forsake all and to follow Christ. He is my life. Whatever it might be, the altar is open. Might be somebody else we need to pray for. It might be something on our heart. Whatever it is, this altar is open. I give you the right to do it. Father, I pray you work your ultimate will in this invitation period, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
All right, if you would get your handbook, let's stand, turn to page 253. Page 253. I want.